Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm living the dream, Fred. I'm looking for a new condo for my daughter. We're going out looking this weekend. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Exciting stuff. She's going to move downtown, be a city person.
Oh, wow, man. That's going to be a big day. My daughter's already left for college. That was hard enough, but the day she moves out of the house, man, that's going to be tough. Are you emotional?
No, I mean, been out of the house. She just lives in the suburbs now. She's already been out for 2 years. So we're just looking downtown. She wants a little help to make the transition to downtown. I will miss, she lives a mile from me now, and I walk over to her house every Saturday. So I won't be able to do that anymore.
Man, I don't know if I'm ready for that. That's great. Congratulations. Glad you're in the real estate market. But let's save that for our real estate podcast. Let's talk a little
I mean, it's more interesting.
Holy cow.
Bridgewater Apartments.
Yeah, I know. I think, actually, maybe we should talk about the real estate market in Chicago for the next hour after last night's game. Dude, I don't know if you have this relationship now. For some reason, I've become known as the Vucevic hater on Twitter And I try not to be. Like, I think he's a fine young man. He's a good guy. There's a lot of great things about him. But, my gosh, that guy sucks at defending the rim. It's a total embarrassment. And, yes, he played very well last night offensively. He had a fine game. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 12 of 16 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. I love it. I love it. That's the kind of offense that if he brought it every night, I'd have no problems with him, you know. No problems at all. 2 of 3 from the three-point line, you know, it's good things are going to flow from that. But there's a reason why he was a team low minus 14. Some of that defense in the first quarter, like the first 8 minutes, if anybody wants to go back and just watch the baskets that the Ananobi had, which is dunks at the rim, unimpeded. Is the word unimpeded? I think it's unimpeded. Dunks at the rim. Without being impeded, dunks at the rim. He had two of them. Layup for Brunson. Doug, it was some of the worst rim defense. He's getting worse in this very important, you know, skill. And I can't take another year for it anymore. This has to be addressed in the offseason. This guy should come off the bench and bum slay against the second unit centers. He can't be starting anymore next year because he's not that good defensively. It's just killing us. Stacey went on and on about, like, hey, you got to get who's ever on him. It was actually DeRozan, and he's not a great defender. You got to get him off of Ananobi. And yeah, sure, I agree with you. But guess what? It doesn't matter who you have. If it's a well-designed play, if it's Caruso on him, and it's a well-set pick, you're going to have a guy who's going to get a free rein to the basket, and you better have somebody that'll clean up the mess. He can't do it. It's a total embarrassment. It's a total joke. What say you?
I mean, you know what I think. So, I mean, I don't know where else to go on Vucevic. I mean,
do you think it's getting worse? Is it just me?
I have said to you, like, he's amongst the worst three-point shooters in the league by a combination of volume and percentage, you know, like the amount he takes relative to the amount he hits. He is one of the worst role men in the league in terms of finishing baskets as the role guy in a pick and roll, statistically, least efficient. And he has like twice as many attempts as anyone else. And he's one of the least efficient post scorers in the league. And so, and you just described, I mean, I don't think anyone thinks he's a good defender. So what does that leave you with? Like, what does it leave you with? He's one of the least efficient offensive centers in the league, probably one of the least efficient guys in the league who takes as many shots as he does. There's no use for him. There's none. There's not use for him on the bench either. Like this idea that...
Well, I do think he'd be decent off the bench.
Yeah, if you just need a guy to get you like a really inefficient shot in high volume, you know, Vuce is your man. Like, but no team needs that. No team needs that. You know, the thing is, when people look at what he does, is they're looking at the NBA as if it was 15 years ago. The game has changed. Like the level of talent in the league now is so overwhelming, and the level of skill in the league now is so overwhelming compared to what it used to be. Like all those shots that Vuce gets you, like those, that would have been fine 15 years ago. Like it really would have been. But not today. His efficiency is just, it's bad. It is below the league average. And he's a volume scorer. There's no use for an offensive player who is a one-way player who is below league average in efficiency. That does not help you ever. It is a negative. His offense is a negative. Every time you give him the ball, it's a negative. Like, in aggregate. Like, yeah, maybe like last night. Like last night, he had a good night.
Last night, he was very good.
The night before that, he was 1 of 9. You put those two nights together, and it was terrible. And it wasn't good. Like, so I don't care what happens, like, game by game. You know, if you took video of me in the right, like, 10 shots, I'd hit 10 threes in a row. Doesn't mean I could shoot at an NBA level. Like, it just doesn't matter. He is not good. He is not a good offensive player. He is a very highly skilled player, but he's not highly enough skilled to be good at anything. And he has no specialties. He's like a jack of all trades, master of none, but except he's like, you know, the jack of below average at everything. And that just doesn't help you. It doesn't help you to be like just a little bit bad at everything you could think of. Like, that is not a useful trait. You need to be really good at something and then do that thing. Or you need to be above average at a few things. And like, there's not a single thing outside of defensive rebounding that I would say Vucevic is above average at. Not one thing. Can you name another thing?
Not even passing?
No.
He's the hub of the offense, Doug.
Dude, what about all the hockey assists? I know you're being sarcastic. But like, it's like, oh yeah, if you say like compared to other centers, maybe he's above average. So compared to the least good passers in the entire NBA, he might be better than them. Maybe. Like, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, if you compare him to everyone in the NBA, he's not a good passer, right? Like, he's still way below average compared to all the guards. So, no, he's not. He's not good at anything. He's like he's good at defensive rebounding. I take that back. He's good at defensive rebounding. He's not good at anything else.
He's a good pick setter. But what does that result for you? You know, what does he get out of it?
Get him the hell off the team. That is the result. Waive him. If you can't trade him, waive him. Just get him off the team. Vooch is the classic addition by subtraction guy. If you just removed him from the team would be immediately better.
Yeah, once you have an offseason to address the center position.
Yeah, you need someone else.
I'm going to put a bow on this because, like,
you need a body. We've
turned off all the tons of Vooch fans out there, and I know they're angry at me, and I know they're out there. And, you know, so here's my commitment to you. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because we beat this dead horse.
I'm excited not to talk about it anymore either.
A dead horse. We're done with it. But I'm just going to say this one more time. This guy, it has to be addressed. And if he's not happy about not starting and coming off the bench, yes, then you waive him because I'm so sick of it. He sucks as a defensive player. He might do some things well. He's appalling. It's an embarrassment. I'm tired of watching him lumber around the court. I can't take it for 2 more years. I don't care how nice of a guy he is and how nice he is to reporters. He can pound sand because he can't play basketball anymore. Now let's go on to the other players. So finally, Kobe comes back. Kobe played freaking great yesterday, I thought, offensively. 24 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 11 for... Well, he didn't shoot the 3 great, but it was 11 for 22 from the field. And then DeRozan, 12 of 22. Both those guys, DeRozan with 34 points and Kobe with 24. And obviously Vooch had 26. But that's about it. Everybody else, you know, Caruso was 3 of 7, Green was 3 of 8. I mean, this team right now, when you had Io out, it's like a disaster. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know how you feel. Like, is anything changed over the past few weeks? Why don't we get into the great play that everyone else is talking about? Your thoughts on Craig throwing the ball off the backboard and is that not the epitome of this team? And then, you know, Drummond comes in thinking it's for him, takes him out, and then he gets hurt in the next subsequent transition. You can't write this. You can't make this stuff up, Doug. I mean, I don't even know what to say. When you see a play like that, I'm literally in Las Vegas watching for work, and then I come to see the highlights, and I saw it, like, in the sports book. They showed it, and I couldn't believe it. I thought it was, like, a joke. I thought it was, like, an AI type of game off of Madden or something. How does this happen? And can you believe this happened? Like, what do you have to say? I'd like your commentary, because I'm speechless.
I don't know what to say, except... You're missing, what, 4 rotation players from the lineup? I mean, you're missing Zach LaVine, who's like arguably your second best player. Yeah, you're missing Lonzo Ball forever. So long we've been missing him, we don't even count as missing him anymore. You're missing Patrick Williams for the rest of the year. And you're missing Ayo Dosunmu. And so, like, 3 of those guys would be starters if we had everyone. And then the fourth guy would be a starter if he was healthy now with the other three out. So, like, I don't know, if you're missing three of your, like, top eight guy or four of your top eight guys from your rotation, like, what do you want? Like, what do you want? Like, it's, you know, like, it's hard to get emotional about any of this stuff. Like, Torrey Craig's a vet min guy. Andre Drummond's a vet min guy. Like, yeah, okay. These guys aren't super great. Like, they're expected to be in your, like, 9 to 15 part of your rotation, and this is just what we're left with, right? Like, the Bulls have had what I even predicted last offseason. I said the injury thing is going to go against us this year. We got super lucky the past year, and, you know, that's kind of happened. And, you know, it's just tough to lose so many guys. Like, that's, you know, between those guys, like, 50% of the salary cap, 50% of the team's payroll is on the bench in street clothes for that game, you know. Like, so, you know, what do you want? Like, it's not a great team if everyone is healthy, and then you subtract four of your top eight players, and yeah, it's even worse. Like, I think it's a miracle they've hung on as well as they have, to be honest with you, Fred.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
I agree with you.
It's just, you know, they're just like, this is what it's going to be. Like, I don't know, like, I can't get frustrated about a team that's like, you know, if everyone is healthy, is maybe like a 44, 45 win team, and missing four guys in the top eight, three, and maybe the top six, and then saying like, oh, well, now they're a 39 win team or something they're going to end up at. Like, yeah, I kind of expect that to be the case. Like, I think that's actually pretty great that they've held on as well as they have. So, you know, like, that doesn't make you feel any better watching the games, but that is kind of what it is. Like, I don't think there's something where I, you know, can sit there and start complaining about guys who are asked to do things that are way beyond their pay grade. Like, we just don't have the horses. Like, that's all it is at this point. Like, we just don't have the horses.
You know what I think makes this extra frustrating, though, Doug, is like, the East, is, outside of the Celtics, it's like the whole league is kind of, this conference, excuse me, it's kind of like falling apart.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis goes out yesterday. If he's off that team, they're not with him. How hard are they going to be? Even with them, they weren't playing great. They were losing to some horrible teams.
A 500 team.
500, exactly. The Knicks, I mean, yeah, they're good. I'm not afraid of the Knicks playing them, you know, with their, you know, they're good, but we beat them. We proved it last week.
Well, Magic, they've also had a ton of injuries. Team. They've been like us, right? Like, they've been missing Randall and Anobi,
really?
And Mitchell. I don't like know. You know, like, whatever. Like, fine.
Not no, like they've us.
Been,
yeah,
they've been hit by major injuries.
Randall,
like, and Anobi, yeah. And like, they've also been missing two of their top three guys. You know, like, for the last 2 months, like, and Randall's out for the year. So, you know, like, whatever. Like, but they wouldn't be an elite team either, right? Like, you know, maybe if they had everyone, they'd be a low 50 wins team. Like, you wouldn't be like, there's no way you could beat them.
Doug, if Zach was healthy, or you know, even just Zach or Williams, just pick one, and we're playing the Knicks, like, let's say, pretend we're playing them in the playoffs. Are you going to tell me, like, we don't have any chance? There's no chance we could beat them. I don't believe that. I don't think they're exponentially better than our team. Yeah, they got Jalen Brunson, who's the best player in the court. But I could see us winning 2-3 games in that series. They're not, like, that much more talented than us. They're definitely better interior defense with the interior defense, and they got better.
I think they would beat us. I mean, like, if everyone is healthy, I think their team is better than our team.
Yeah, I agree. But
not worlds better. I agree. Outside of the Celtics this year, No one in the East really scares you.
Cavs are falling apart. Exactly. That's my whole point here. The Heat, like, oh, yeah, they'll turn it on and play. And maybe they will. Who knows? Because this is not a good conference. But they're 44-35. They're not, like, great. They're just ahead of us right now. Sixers are looking a lot better now that they got Embiid back. But, like, I guess that's my point is, like, I don't think it's
– You would have had a chance to win a round.
I think we're blown an opportunity. Yes.
You would have had a chance to win a round no matter what. Like, anyone outside of whoever plays Boston – which will be us if we make it to the playoffs, will be the team that plays Boston because we're in the 9-10 spot. So the highest we can get is the 8 seed if we make the playoffs. So we have no chance because we'd have to play Boston if we make it to the playoffs. But everyone else has a chance, right? Like Yeah, there's no team in the rest of that group. Like, even the seven seed, you'd be like, yeah, okay, Milwaukee is falling apart. They've been like 500 now for like 50 games. Like, yeah, you feel like you'd have a chance against anyone else.
I kind of even feel like, you know, even like from 2010, you know, to the end of the Gar Pax era, it was really hard just because LeBron was in the conference for the vast majority of those years. Like, nobody beat him. He went to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think, for 8 straight years. I don't know, some insane number from between the Heat and the Cavs. You know, so while he was there, we just couldn't beat him. But now, like, since he left, I just think we're blowing this opportunity. It's not that good. Like, compare us to the West. Look at the Western Conference. Look at the teams in that conference, and look at the teams that are 10. Like, the Warriors are 10. The Lakers are 9. The Lakers are 45 and 35. The Kings are 8 at 45 and 34. The Rockets are 39 and 40 with a better record than us, and they're out of the play-in. It's like, we're in the easier conference, and we're blowing this opportunity. It's just,
it's not really much of an opportunity, and we don't really have it anyway. Like, we wouldn't get past Boston no matter what, and we've never been close. Like, if everyone was healthy, we would not be close. Like, we still wouldn't be close. Like, we'd be close to, like, you'd be like, yeah, maybe you could squint and you could see yourself. You'd still be, with everyone healthy, you'd still be an underdog to win in the first round. You could do it, but you'd be an underdog. Then you'd be an underdog in the second round. And then if you somehow made it to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston, you'd be a massive underdog.
Boston lost.
Like, that's
Miami
not like a golden opportunity. Like, and like I say, we're just so far away. And like, what are we saying? Like, oh, if we were just kind of a teeny bit better than average, yeah, we could have better results than we should because the conference sucks. Sure. Like, I agree with that. But that's like, so what? You still wouldn't get anywhere. You'd still get killed in the Eastern Conference Finals. And if by some miracle, like Tatum and Brown and Porzingis all tear ACLs against you and you go to the finals, you're getting annihilated in the finals. Like, you're still nowhere near the caliber of team it would take to win the championship. Like, just not even close.
Data tells me that the Celtics didn't even get to the finals last year, Doug. They lost to the Heat, who weren't that good. They sure got a lot to prove to me. Like, one of your key players is Porzingis. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, you feel great about that? I want to name a team, and I want you to tell me in 2 years, who do you feel better about? Which one of these two teams, the Celtics or this team, is going to have a better chance of winning a title? The Timberwolves.
The Celtics.
I take the Timberwolves. Well, Nuggets.
You're wrong. Maybe the Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Probably the Nuggets. I think it could go either way.
Thunder.
Could go either way.
Mavericks.
The Celtics.
All right, maybe your point is made. Maybe you got a good point. It's going to be hard to beat Tatum and Brown. You start out with those two guys, that's a good combo to have, and you're going to have a really good
title contender. I mean, those
guys
are like, what, like 24 and 25? For next 5 years.
I still...
I mean, like, they're going to be here for a while. Like...
Like, I think the Timberwolves are going to be... If the Timberwolves play Boston, I really believe the Timberwolves are a better team than Boston. I think they could beat them. The reason Boston's record is so freaking good is because they're playing more games against the bottom... The Nets, the Raptors, the Hornets, the Wizards, the Pistons. They're playing against garbage in the East. Whereas the West teams, like the Timberwolves and Nuggets with 55 wins, you know, all these wins, they're playing a much better conference, 50-some games. What was it, 52 games in the West, 30 and, you know, I
yeah,
can't remember.
That's right. 30 I believe it's 52.
Is that 30. Right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, 50. So that's my point. Everybody's got, oh, Boston so far ahead of everybody else. They're not. They're ahead of the East, but they're not ahead of the Timberwolves. They're not ahead of Denver.
They're ahead of
the Clippers.
The Timberwolves.
The Clippers
like
destroyed them in Boston.
Paper Tiger. They're ahead of the Clippers.
I totally disagree with you.
Look, if you just... Okay, so there's 22 games difference, right? So, like, if you say you play 30 against the alternate conference, so you play 60 games in common, there's 22 games that are different. And if you say, like, that difference in strength of schedule maybe accounts for, like, 4 wins, that would be amazingly generous. If you subtract 4 wins from Boston, they still have more wins than everyone in the West.
Boston is in their conference, in the Eastern Conference, at 39 and 10, which means against the Western Conference, they have 7 losses. I mean, a higher percentage of losses, but it's still a pretty good record. I mean, yeah, it's fine. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. My bigger point is, like,
Look, my bigger point is the Bulls are nowhere close. For me. Their talent is nowhere close. They aren't a good team. With everyone healthy, they aren't a good team. If you keep running in your direction, like, this is like, you're just like, you might as well be Arturis Karnišovas. Oh, bring them all back. We blew an opportunity. It's all due to luck. Like, if everyone was healthy, we'd have been great. No, we wouldn't. This team isn't that good. If you keep running with this, like, oh, yeah, just, that is the Arturis Karnišovas argument. Like, just run it all back. We just got unlucky.
Well, they don't have a choice, though.
Just got That's unlucky. Point.
Like, what are you going to do?
Well, you had lots of choices over the last 2 years. I don't know what you do now. Now you're just screwed. These guys are so bad. This team is just so screwed. It's so screwed.
That Vucevic contract was so freaking stupid, and we said it at the time. I would have been fine if it was 2 years. Like, you added another year that makes this guy freaking untradeable. Like, you can't even give him a partial guarantee. You give him a full $21 million in year three. It's so freaking dumb.
And you promised.
And now what are they going to do? What's that?
And you promised
it. You promised him a great. Yeah, yeah. You're gonna and they followed through with that. He's got more shots than anybody. I'm sure he'll say, "Well, it's because Zach's off the team." Well, God, you're right. That's what really bothers me. You can just see the team kind of like, you know, always trying to get him involved, like he's freaking Bill Cartwright in the first quarter of 1992 or something. Where we gotta devote, like, hey, let's throw it down low. At least Cartwright had some legitimate talent. Ah, duh. I don't even want to go down this road again.
You just promised me you wouldn't. And then here you are.
And there you go. You take me right down that road. I guess.
I'm not trying to take you down that road. I just said this team was bad. You're the one who brought it back to Vucevic.
Are they going to blow this? Is this going to be like, are they going to be the 10th seed now? Are they going to be the 10th seed? Is that what's going to happen?
No, they're not going to be the home game. They're not going to be the 10th seed.
You don't think so?
They got Detroit tomorrow. Like, I know they've lost to Detroit twice already.
Yeah, but you feel great about this?
I feel good. Like, I think they're going to beat Detroit. And then they got the Wizards, and I think they can beat the Wizards. And that's it. That's all they need to do. They win those two games, and then they're in.
They're already in.
No, yeah, they have the 9th seed. I think if they win those two games, they have the 9th seed.
Oh, yeah, because they got a game.
Oh, no, no, that's not right. If Atlanta won out, they would still beat that. Our magic number still seems like it's 3.
I thought it was 2.
If I'm spotting this. I feel like it should be 2 as well.
All right.
But we lost the tiebreaker. The
tonight.
We lost the tiebreaker.
They got the No, I thought we... No, we have the tiebreaker with Atlanta. We own the tiebreaker. I'm certain of that.
You're certain of that? Then it's 2. Then that makes sense. I could have swore we lost the tiebreaker.
And then so the Hornets, they got at home. Then they got at Timberwolves and at Pacers. Well, that's going to be tough.
Yeah,
because the Timberwolves are going to be. That's going to be a tough game. Yeah, you're right.
We're gonna take 9.
I could see us losing 3 in a row, Doug.
We're gonna take 9. We're gonna take 9. I mean, Atlanta could easily lose out anyway, but we're gonna take 9.
Can we get together? I know for the playing game, I think it'd be fun. Should we do that? Plan on that?
I would love to get together with you anytime. You're always too busy.
Can I offer up your own house?
Can
I offer up your?
Yeah, you can offer up my house. We can invite the whole Big Red Bus.
Well, Nathan Curtis, our guy Nathan Curtis on Twitter asked about it, and I promised him I'd watch a game with him this year. So can we invite him?
We can invite everyone listening now can come to my house to watch the play-in.
All right, let's do it. Play-in blast. When is that game going to be? Likely?
We'll tweet it out. I'll send out to my usual cast of regulars for the draft party. Say, hey, play-in game at my house.
I fully expect the Bulls to win both these games. That's what they do. They totally change your...
Nah, they're not going to win both these games.
Just when you think they're out, they bring it back in.
They're not going to win both. They will. They're going to win the first one, and then they're going to lose the second one because they can't win two games in a row.
I'm going to predict it now. They're going to win two games in a row. I'm going to get on Wild and Sylvie and just talk a lot of smack.
I can't wait. We'll get swept by Boston. I mean, it'd be great if they win two in a row. You know what? Like, I would be...
Oh, hell yeah.
I'd be excited if they made the playoffs. You know, like, I mean, it's stupid because you know they're going to get killed by Boston, but who cares? Like, it's better than being in the lottery with the 12th pick and, like, a 1% chance of moving up. Like, I don't know. Exactly. Give me a playoff series. Like,
get Io, get Kobe some experience. That's important.
I don't think it's important. I just would rather watch a few more games of Bulls basketball. Like, and it might help a little bit. Like, I don't think there's like anything around the margins either way that really matters whether you make the playoffs or like if you were going to draft to like fifth or something, and this is not a great draft, I would say, sure, I'd rather like take the high pick, but we're not going to have a good pick no matter what. Like, it's going to be like 11th or something no matter what. So, you know, like if I'm choosing between 11th or the playoff spot, you know, I'll take the playoff spot in like 15. Like, that's fine. Like, I'll give up four slots in the draft to watch four more Bulls games, maybe five.
Yeah,
one for each spot you drop in the draft, one game.
So it sounds like you pretty much have already seeded the Boston. Like, there's no team that can beat Boston, in your opinion, in the East. I think Philly,
not without injury.
Not without
injury. Like, you know, if enough guys in Boston.
Oh, I see. You know, yeah.
But like,
yeah,
I got what you're saying. Do you think anyone can beat Boston?
Philly, if Embiid just goes off, if he's looked a lot better than I expected him to look. Like, I watched, I think, two of their games since he's come back, and he's looked good. Yeah. So, like, when he's there, it's a completely different team. That said, I mean, come on, it's Philly, and they don't exactly have a stellar playoff record either. I'd still bet on Boston. I think that's the only team. Now that Giannis is potentially hurt, I mean, obviously Milwaukee, you can never count them out. Obviously, we got a player of Dame's caliber and Giannis, but I agree with you. I mean, if Boston blows this, this would be an epic, epic failure of massive proportions. Like, they cannot lose to a Miami like they did last year. They got to get to the finals and take their best shot against Denver or whoever comes out of there, you know?
Yeah.
Are you pretty sure Denver's coming out of the West?
No. No, I mean, I think the West is. I would pick Denver, but I would not put pretty sure around it. Like,
yeah, I know.
You know, like,
I can't wait for the West is
going to be really. It's a lot of good teams there. I mean, like I said, I pick Denver. I don't know. I would take the field over Denver. I guess I'll put it that way. Like, if you said I can have the other seven teams or Denver, I'd take the other seven teams. But I think Denver's like, you know, like individually might have twice the odds of any one other team. Like, I like them more. By a pretty good margin than the other teams, but not more than the combined standings of the other teams. You know, the thing I'd say with Boston, and you know, they've had a lot of playoff heartbreak, and a lot of times you need that to advance. You know, their guys have a ton of playoff experience. I just think you're going to see a different team this year. And even though you're going to laugh at me for saying this, like, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is going to be a difference maker for them. You know, like, you're going to go up against Embiid, and, you know, if Porzingis is healthy, having like a 7'1", 7'3",
you know. I think he's taller than that. I think he's like 7'3 or 4.
Yeah, I think I want to say he's like 7'3 maybe. You know, like, just having that kind of body in there, and like, I'm not saying it's going to shut down Embiid, but it's like you have a skilled, you know, defender who's as tall as Embiid, taller than Embiid probably out there. And, you know, I just think that just makes a difference.
And, who can hit threes and pull them out?
Yeah, and you're not gonna guard him.
You can't just leave him wide open.
And you're not gonna need to. You're not gonna need to double as nearly as much as some other team might have to. You know, you could play man to man, and I'm sure Embiid will get a lot of points and get a lot of whatever. But you're not gonna get killed in the way that, you know, like the Bulls would get killed. You know, trying to man to man Embiid, or like really most teams in the league, like not many teams, you know, have got that type of guy who's going to match up with that elite type center. And so, you know, when they go up against Denver, if Denver makes it out there, it's going to be kind of similar. Like, you know, like Porzingis staying healthy for them, I just think is so important for them to win. Because I think it just gives them just such a better defensive look against a couple teams that have these like really elite centers. And, you know, like their starting five is just, it's unbelievable. Or maybe, you know, their closing five. If you're just thinking like, Holiday, Derek White, Brown, Tatum, and Porzingis. It's like five two-way players.
It is incredible. And they're all plus defenders.
Yeah. It's definitely everyone playing their natural position. Like, that's just brutal. Like, that's just no team is throwing out five two-way players outside of the Celtics.
Any comments on them taking 50-plus threes? I think it was 50-plus threes yesterday. Was it last night and they had zero free throws? Is that not insane? Did you hear about that?
I did not. But you know, whatever. That's the league today.
But that's crazy. I mean, I've never heard of anything so insane. The league today, like, when have you ever heard of that? That's
which part do you think is insane?
I can't believe it.
Like that seems totally.
I think it was the first time in NBA history I saw the stat that a team took no free throw attempts. Yeah, they had no free throw attempts. Let me read you the line here. They were from three. They shot 56% from the field. They shot 42% from three. They were 16-38. So they had over 50 points from three. Is this right? No. This says they had 13 free throws. Maybe it was the previous game. Let me see. It was one of these games where they had... And I'm screwing this up. Maybe it was last night. Yeah, it was last night against the Bucks. Take it back. So they lost to the Bucks. What am I doing? Oh, yeah. Get ready for this.
This is Doug. A great segment.
Get ready. So they lost to the Bucks last night. They lost to the Bucks last night. They had 0 free throws. They were 0-for-0 from the line. 52 attempts from three. Are you ready? Hold on to your seat. You ready for this? Guess how many free throw attempts the Bucks had.
I don't know. You tell me.
Two.
Okay.
Two.
That's a pretty let them play type of game.
If you went into a game and you said, all right, I'm going to bet the Bucks are playing the Celtics, how many free throw attempts are going to be in this game? What's the lowest number you would say?
I don't know. Like 20, 25?
I think by himself, Giannis would have six. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, come. There was two in the whole game.
Giannis did get
I've never heard Giannis of anything so insane. Yeah. That's the most credible thing I've ever seen. In any stat I've ever seen, I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. Anyhow, that's amazing to me. No comments?
It is amazing. It is pretty wild. It's hard for me to imagine a game with under 20 free throws. And if Giannis is one of the players in the game, it's really hard to imagine.
It's freaking insane. That's pretty crazy. Or even Dame. Did Dame play in that game?
I pulled up the box score because you talked about it. That is pretty wild.
I got the wrong game when I beat the Blazers. Okay, so and the last thing before I want to wrap up, I just wanted to go through this exercise with you before we bring the bus in. I want to focus on the West because this is an exercise that I did a few days ago with a friend, and I was kind of like, whoa. All right, get ready for this. Okay. If the season ended today, the 9-10 game would be the Lakers and Warriors in LA. Yeah. If you had a bet who would win that, who would you take? They just played last night, didn't they? I think the Warriors won.
Yeah, the Warriors won. Whatever, it's one game between two pretty even teams with a ton of experience. So, it's clearly a toss-up, but I will put my money on the Warriors, I think.
Okay. So would I. And then, there's LeBron out, and there's our trade partner for Zach LaVine. And then the other 7-8 game would be the Suns. Let me say that again. The Suns, who've given up, like, every one of their picks for Kingdom Come 7 seed against the Kings. Now, keep in mind, these aren't finalized, but I'm just throwing these out. This is the play-in game.
These are the playing games.
Who are you taking in that game?
I think I'm going to take the Kings in that game.
I'd take the Suns in that game. Regardless, either way, now we have... Let's just say it's the Suns.
Okay, sure. Because you're making a point of some type. Sure.
Suns, Warriors, right. So the Timberwolves would play the Warriors in the first round, 1-8. The Nuggets would play the Suns. Kevin, the team that took them, won two games against them last year, the Suns. The third team is the Thunder. They're playing the Pelicans, and I'd take the Thunder pretty... handling it, that'd be a big win. And 4 and 5 is the Clippers Mavericks. Doug, like every one of these games is must watch. What say you?
Yeah, the West playoffs is going to be pretty great. I mean, like no matter how
I don't think
it,
I've ever remembered it being this good.
Yeah, I think
you. I've never said what. This is insane.
I think there's been other years. It's been pretty amazing. I don't know if you remember back. I want to say it was 2019 that the worst team in the West. I want to say was the Spurs. That made the playoffs, and they have 48 wins. They were the 8th seed.
God, I don't remember that. That's incredible.
And it may not have been. Maybe the Spurs were 7. It was like a big clump, kind of like this year. There was like a big clump of teams, but it was like the worst team that made it in had 48 wins. Like crazy stuff can happen, and it's going to be much. I just looked it up now. The Clippers and the Spurs were tied for the 7 and 8 spots. I don't know how the tiebreaker was broke if if it was the Spurs are listed in seven in the thing I looked up, but that may not have been the case in this seedings.
Who's nine? Who was nine?
Nine was the Kings with 39 wins.
So, okay, 39 wins, and who was 10?
10 was the Lakers, 37 wins.
With how many wins? All right, so the 10th team this year has 44 wins. Yeah,
they're very deep this year.
And the season's not even over yet. Season's not even over yet. This is insane. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, 10 deep in one conference, I don't remember the 10th place team
playing tournament,
potentially
baby.
Having 45 freaking wins. Insane. Well, yeah, it's exciting. Not only that, the 11th place team has 39 wins, yeah. Doug. The Rockets, it's incredible. And even though our beloved Bull are probably going to be out after round one, unless the miracle happens. I mean, can you imagine if they win, if they somehow win two play-in games?
I can't really imagine them winning two play-in games, so I really can't imagine them beating the best team in the league in a best of seven series afterwards. So no, I can't imagine that.
I might have to take off like for 6 months if they somehow.
You would need a Derrick Rose like year where like the game one, like Tatum tears his ACL, and then like game three, like Brown like tears his Achilles, like where he lost Noah and Rose in the series, and then like lost. Like you would need something like that to happen. And even then, like I don't know if you took off any two guys from that team. I still don't know if we would beat them. I think they would run out of depth. Like they would have a decent starting five, but then they would have like zero bench after that. But
oh, we can dream. Huh?
I'm not dreaming for people. That would be the biggest upset, to be honest with you. Like,
No. Yeah, exactly. We're not dreaming for that. Let's just pretend though that I can see them winning one or two games where Kobe just goes nuts.
We beat him on talent. DeMar. I'll dream for that. Unlikely. Yeah, unlikely. But yeah, you never, like, honestly, you just never know. Like, you know, and it's hard in a seven game
never
series,
know.
But like, you know, you just have those times every once in a while where like you just get like ultra hot from three and there it is, you know, like, and it's the thing that makes it so tough for the Bulls is like, we're like the least likely team in the league to just have an aberration of like amazing 3-point shooting for four games. Right. Like we're the least likely team to have that happen. Vooch gets super hot.
Vooch gets hot.
All of a sudden, 45%
Carter returns
starts shooting
to
seven
40%. Javon Carter is the biggest chuckster. Can you believe this guy threw up five? He was played 5 minutes yesterday, 1 for 5 from the field.
He doesn't get enough. His shots per minute. Him up, you know?
It's insane. Yeah, gotta get him up, exactly. All right, DT, let's bring in the big red bus, man. It's always good to talk to you, my friend. Until next time, let's go Bulls.
Yeah, how about Javonte Green? I know you're a Javonte hater.
I am not a hater.
You are definitely a hater.
I am not a hater.
I love it when you like trash a guy all the time and I call you a hater and then you're like, I'm not a hater. I just, and you come up with like some weird excuse of why you're not a hater. You're totally a Javonte hater. Maybe not anymore. Maybe now he's turned over in your mind, but man, Javonte Green's been a joy to watch since he's been back. I'm glad he's back. I wish we had just signed him a long time earlier. Like what are we doing with Terry Taylor this whole time? Like, you know,
But I also understand Doug, he's 30 years old. He's coming off a major knee injury.
He would have pushed Patrick Williams out of the starting lineup by like 4 weeks into the season.
you can't put that kind of pressure.
Williams. We had to wait till he was out for the year, and we thought, yeah, all right, nothing else is going on. Might as well bring in Green.
Yeah, let's bring him back. But nobody else picked him up because he's 30. He's a player completely very dependent on athleticism. Nobody guards him at the 3-point line. I love it when he was hitting the shots, you know, and. But I do agree, like, oh, my gosh, he's aggressive. He was playing like his career depended on it, and frankly, it does. Like, you know, he's on the other side of it. I mean, you see that, right? I hope people understand that. Like, this is our highlight for our year. That's how bad the year has been. Is a guy who was spent the whole year in the G League came back, had two good games. You know, I don't expect him to continue playing like this. I don't expect him to get unimpeded, you know, runways to the rim to just put back dunks and hit wide open threes. Eventually somebody's going to guard him and it won't be great. But
if Javonte Green could just hit wide open threes consistently, like it'd be pretty great, right? Like, I mean, like if you have to run out and actually guard him, like his defense is good. It's weird. Like I just think Javonte Green is pretty good. Like I think he's like an eighth man in a rotation. And it's a travesty that he was not on someone's roster before ours.
Yeah.
Like, for a guy who is just sitting in the G League at the minimum, like, I'm not saying he's got huge upside. I'm not saying he is a star, but, like he's better than probably 100 guys that were on rosters.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt that way. It's just weird what happens sometimes. Like, I know I'll say this, I probably shouldn't, but I'll say it. Like, Denzel Valentine wasn't in the league because of a viral video, and he made a bad shot against Miami and bad choice after playing an incredible fourth quarter and hitting a bunch of threes, and he thought he was on a heat check and took a terrible shot, and that video went viral, and then he was out of the league.
That's not why he's out of the league, dude. Denzel Valentine sucks.
Excellent passer, excellent three-point shooter. Yes, he shot the ball very well from 3 points, from the three-point line. I think that's a big part of why he was out of the league. People just were like, well, they see the video, and then there's sometimes, Doug, believe me, there's reasons why guys aren't in the league, and it's just kind of bizarre. For Javonte, he's 30. Wow. Like, he's 30 years
Denzel
old.
Denzel Valentine, like, people 36% are willing
probably more.
For his career, from three.
His career?
That's good.
Right.
And he was a chucker. It's like 36% and he was a chucker. He is an absolutely atrocious defender. One of the worst perimeter defenders in the league.
We're not going to end the show on Denzel Valentine.
You brought him up, so that was your fault.
Slagging Denzel Valentine.
He's no Javonte Green, I'll tell you that.
I'm gonna make you get out of the bus before I pull in. That's how angry I am right now.
All right. Well, don't get into a car accident.
I'm pulling over at the Jewel. I want you to get out while I pull the bus in from this point.
Transport home. All right.
You're taking a real bus home, one of those Pace buses, and I'm taking the red one back. All right, brother. All right. Hey, look, you're right. Javonte, great job, my man. Great job. All right. We'll see you next year. All right, man. Take it easy. Go Bulls.